Jeff, is it, how's the first week on the job here?
I survived. I'm here, so. It's interesting trying to follow up behind Jeremiah and finding not everything as orderly as I thought they were. So day one, whenever I walked in and was with him the whole time, I was like, oh, everything's perfect. I'm going to be happy. And then I sit down on Monday, the next week, and it's like, wait a second, Jeremiah, where did you put this? How to figure? And so his organization doesn't match my organization. It's like two organized people and maybe two completely different sets of organization things. So I've been working through that, trying to go through those hoops and trying to figure out what's next. But since I'm sort of just trying to follow his path, it's now trying to adjust my organization to fit that organization, which is okay. It's just that it's a bit different getting used to. He's very young.
Using his office space?
Yes, yeah, I switched over to there. So originally I was in Jeremy's when he was there. And then the original thought was to keep it open so that the new person would be able to flow into it. But because all of the material and everything is there, I'm like, I'm just going to move over there. I have his computer and I carry it with me. I know his password and stuff. So there's some things that still are on his computer but not on my computer. So I have my personal computer so that I'm using for it. So it's trying to keep things synced up enough to where it flows. I've only missed two things, so that's good. Now, one of them was Dolores giving her handouts on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, and they called me and they're like, did you get these, or where are these at?
Okay. There are a lot of administrative details.
Well, Monday I had to leave early from the office. Yeah. So I got here and I was going to work all day here and then work until our meeting on the night. And then I had to go and so I left. And all those, that time I would have probably remembered it.
Yeah.
But by the time I had forgot it, went home, and then it's like, okay, it just never came back to my mind. So I did that one. The other one was, I don't remember what it was now.
So, how did the meeting go on Sunday?
It was good. And that was the other thing I was going to point out. So the meeting went well, I think. Ross, you were there. Steve, you were there too. Yeah. And it was just really quick. So it was just saying, hey, everything's going
to
go.
I like that part of it. Yeah. Very straight to the point.
That's what I think the meeting should be. Beth is like, why didn't you talk to him about VBS? And I'm like, I don't know anything about VBS yet, so I haven't got to the point of really getting into that. And that was that Monday
that
situation.
That was a good rapport builder by keeping it short.
I told him it was going to be short. It was short.
It's a good first impression.
Yeah.
Thing, though, that it did give me a different first impression. So I already knew it to a point, not necessarily from Jeremiah, but just from being in the classes before, that there's a large crew that leave right after service. And so we lose not half of the kids,
but
maybe a fourth of the kids are, and their parents all leave right after church. So it's very interesting because some of them are key participants in that first part.
Oh, really?
So like they're teachers, they're whatever, but they don't stay for class, they stay only for the kids' part. Mm. And
so they're in children's worship and engaged and involved, that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But then not in the
Which is a bit of, and they've even told me by email after that, I've asked them about doing different things.
No,
and
we don't stay.
They're like, no, we have other things during class time. Mm. And so they didn't come to the meeting, so that was the first time I realized it, I think. Mm-hmm. Because I intentionally put it out there, hey, we're going to do it at this time so that everybody could be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that was the thing, like Debbie wouldn't have been able to be there if it was during class. And she's a key participant in that group. She teaches every single week. And I'm like, everybody needs to be there. Mm-hmm. But because I did that, I intentionally got to see who doesn't participate in everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you think next time we'll do it during Bible class, like at the beginning of Bible class?
That's what Jeremiah did two times.
Yes. It seems like a bad idea, but it was a better idea. Whether it's better for the whole of the church, I don't know.
Yeah. Because for those two or three, well, maybe four families, they would possibly stay for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is that you cut out major other pieces that can't be there.
Oh, right, because like people are teaching or helping.
And if they're in the adult program, so it's like...
Yeah.
So I know I could never be at any of his because I was at one of the teaching class. One of the
Robin Peter to pay Paul.
Yep.
So this is where I did it the other way, and I wanted them to know that they were going to miss out, as opposed to arranging everything for them. So, but so now I just have to think through how to handle that, and if it's even possible, really. So that's just the only thing that caught my eye in the first week.
Something caught my eye. You have rapport with the kids already.
Yeah. Hooray.
Yeah. I was surprised. I didn't think you would. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. But so they're interacting with you and seem to like it. So.
I did children's worship. Ross so calls we had already lucky season. Had that relationship.
I'm super honest.
And I think that, did we talk about it here? That so we are doing one change. The one change is adding instrument to the worship.
I'm not sure about here, but I think we talked about it.
Yeah. And so basically what we've done is instead of using the videos of worship songs that, and Jeremiah used them not every week, but some of the weeks, and some of the other teachers did for children's worship, we're going to use the other instrumentalists, so Greg, Matthew, and Alec, to come in and lead a song.
That's awesome.
We were very concerned. So me and Alec and Matthew all had these conversations.
Oh, well, that too, yeah. Sure, yeah. Well, it's good. You get to keep practicing. Yeah.
And we were worried about it because, one, there are four, we've already talked about it, there's four older kids that are very instrumental in making the class be good or bad. The four.
I know about the Three Stooges. Who's the four?
Zach. You're not
counting, I don't know Zach.
You're not counting Zach. So Mike Cannon's son. So the four of them together. So we know them very well. And so, but yeah, the influencers, because they're the oldest, really. I mean, Ruby is also the same age, and Nora and Evie are, but they're not loud. And so they're very soft-spoken, but they're very, very much participatory in everything. And so they all liked the guitar there, which the guitar was there before Alec walked in. He went into the classroom, I think, or something. And so they're like, do we get to play with the guitar? No. And if you saw the post that Alec put today was like on Facebook, he's like, I went in to teach some songs to the kids class. And the first thing they asked me was, what's the guitar's name? It may have been the children's interim person that suggested asking that, but they asked, and they were interested. And he's like, I don't know. It's Conrad. So he has a picture of his guitar, and on the top it's a Conrad guitar. And it's pointing there. And so it worked out really well. He could help do that. So he rolled with it. It went really good. It was the best experience that could have actually happened, I think, with
good.
It.
Good. Great.
Where we were really concerned because it could have went really bad. Because they've been known to be very quiet and not participate. Mm-hmm. Especially with any of the other songs.
Just as a thought, Jeff, and I take it or leave it, but since it went so well with Alec doing that, would it be helpful for Greg and or Matthew to sit in on one of those and observe it with Alec?
Well, and we could. So and Matthew actually will be doing it. So basically what the schedule is, Matthew and Rachel do children's worship once a month.
Right.
And so they're actually doing it next week. And so Matthew will do that part. And I'll be in there with them.
Okay.
Letting them run just so I can see how other people do it. And I'll do Eric's too. And,
okay.
And then Greg and I will be there the next week.
That's great.
I think
that's a good addition.
And we may have them all come in with Alec sometimes too. And then the way they can see how it's run, but I think that they're going to do well.
It's good.
So.
Very good. Great. Nathan's at down the city tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say he has Mark Minton going tonight.
Oh, good.
So
good.
Mark and Jacob, I think.
And so, the Minton signed up for next Sunday.
For next Sunday, we've got to figure out next steps with them, Steve. I know we've all been working overtime, but I think they're ready for that.
But the other thing about Nathan that Sophie told me on the way here is that the intern is not happening this summer. So
that's right. Oh, really?
Yeah, we were like, she ended up deciding not to come. Mm. And so, and I don't think he has anybody else in line, so which is really late for even finding anybody.
No. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's, it'll work. Most of our summers have gone without interns. Yeah. Going back to 86. And most of the other youth ministers here don't have interns. Like in fact, it might be a good summer for them not having an intern.
Yes, not having to watch somebody.
Yeah.
Ethan Laster, debrief thoughts, I guess, on our individual meetings with them Saturday night and Sunday at lunch, and then what we've heard since yesterday afternoon?
Well, he was my number two, and he's now tied for one. Because and I'll say not because of anything he said or did, but just meeting Sarah and seeing that he's got such an awesome partner who is 100% on board with him being a minister, and seems like she can handle the lifestyle, and very well spoken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big fan of Sarah.
That's good.
And were you at the lunch on Sunday?
No, it's the dinner on Saturday.
Dinner on Saturday. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, when y'all roped me into bringing my kids,
which
got me, I got a diaper leaking into my lap, I was playing with toys and all kinds of stuff, but I'll still pay attention.
There's a lot going on, huh?
I guess I'm not sure why we had me bring the kids. I told Alicia, I was like, well, I missed the elders meeting, so it's on me. But at least we got to see that he really interacted with Zeke well.
Yeah, like,
Zeke
really
was quizzing questions, and like he was good on his feet with that, and so definitely had the right attitude for dealing with kids.
That's awesome.
And they weren't put off by Willow, at least, or distracted by her.
Oh,
yeah.
Alicia and I were distracted, but they were fine.
And Beata's question was a great question. It was about you living out in Baldwin, and just talked about their experience and would they consider moving in. And he said, yeah, we would. That's what they would like to do.
Like to
do.
So why they moved out there was to be close to all their church people.
Yeah, right.
And so... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody talk with different people come to you with?
I talked to a few. Matthew Bartowell, one of his main concerns was that, hey, this guy's an academic, he's working on a PhD. Those guys typically like to teach at the university level. And so I had that question specifically. I asked them that question. And so I got back with Matthew on his answer, and he was like, oh, okay, I feel good about that now.
Yeah.
You know, and then
can we talk about that answer for a second?
Yeah,
because I felt like there was hidden in there was him, because he said he didn't he was, you know, like going where God was leading him, and he also said he didn't feel like strongly decided on either one, like he had to go one way or the other, which meant like he doesn't feel a passion for teaching, but also doesn't mean he's discounted at all. Like he's definitely not committed to ministry.
Well, I heard either. I got a little different answer.
Yeah, I was excited.
I think what he said, and you guys can tell me if I misheard this, is that he said, I really can't see myself not being in ministry. Because he said, teaching is nice, but it's not as life-giving as ministry. Mm. But I would like to do like an adjunct.
Yeah, so that's what I heard.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like an online adjunct.
Just be able to do some of that, but ministry was where his heart was.
Yeah, I think that's...
He had suggested Harding. ACU or Harding.
Well, he did say Harding, which I was surprised, because ACU was all of his connections.
Yeah. So. And Barb Eichel, initially she came up and was kind of lukewarm, and then she reached out to me later with a similar question that Matthew had. And so I gave her kind of the same answer. She was like, okay, you know he's not a Cardinals fan, was her response.
not a Mets fan.
She probably likes
him. She probably likes that.
And let's see, Brett Ferguson, I think he liked him, but he was concerned about the inexperience and, you know, leadership and kind of things we know about, so we can work on that. And then the other couple were pretty positive, you know, so.
I had, first of all, I was helping my mother-in-law get to the car and was coming in, so right at the beginning, and Ann Hopp was leaving, and she stopped me and she said, I really like this guy. Good. And so she liked him. And then inside I was talking to Steve, and he said, I really like him. Yeah. And then I said, yeah, your wife said the same thing. And he said, really? And then had a couple others that really liked him.
In our small group last night, Elliot Grissom was there, and his thing was, I wish he would have talked more about just his background and what he, you know. And I said, well, you know, we had several meetings prior to today's meeting, and we learned a lot about his background and everything. So we felt like, at least from our perspective, it was important for him to have a chance to preach and do all that. And I said, we'd be glad to answer any of those questions. And so we talked about that a little bit, and then he says, I really liked his preaching, and it seems like a really good. So that was from Elliot, and then Collins and Trish both were very, very pleased and said that they really liked him.
And I thought a lot about it, and even when he was up there preaching, I was like, we're not hiring him for what he is right now, because he's brand new. We're hiring him for what we hope for him to become. And then that puts a lot on us, being a church that will be patient and help to grow him into that position, if he's the one that we decide on. I really like that, because he's got a good head start, and just, I thought he had a good personality. Nathan, Ethan, that was a
he rolled with that really well. Yeah.
I even, you know, I had his stuff
on the
stage.
It doesn't matter.
And I had Nathan on. I have Nathan in there. She said, I saw that. I was going to say something. Then she said, but then I couldn't remember what his name was. So
I think your point is rather interesting about developmental.
Yeah.
The idea that what are we hiring him for, and what can he become?
Yeah.
And I'm saying this only from feedback I got from Kaz, and I think he didn't use exactly those words, but it was pretty much the same thing, is that I think the fundamentals were there, and the rest could be trained or groomed or, you know, mentored or whatever word you want to use, that he would receive it well and could grow into it. But that's sort of a difference between being there and the church giving him the benefit of the doubt. So it just be a lot of managing of expectations, and then his willingness to grow into the role that we're asking
him. And what made me really think about that is thinking about if we have another interview with him and his wife, and then asking those really hard questions. I'm like, why would we ask those? He has no clue about that stuff. Yeah. How would you do this, or how would you do that, or what would you see yourself, you know, in this?
Yeah, that's what I thought about that when we were asking him, like, what he thinks, like what ways he thinks is the most important challenge when you're a minister or whatever. I was like, he's never – I just thought, you're asking a 30-year-old kid what he thinks about ministry, and all he knows is what he's been taught, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, he's been a Christian for a long time.
Yeah, so he was 4 years with the Winners Church of Christ.
Right. I guess
small.
I mean, he saw the church from a different
– Yeah.
What I thought, though, was his answer was very good for someone with that little experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and I think the way I was thinking, so that's like what Kaz was saying. That's what I felt like from the beginning about him a bit more than I did about Michael. So if I compare him to Michael, so Michael is so young in so much that it would be hard to get him to that next point.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where with him, he has, even though it's only been like 4 years or whatever, Michael's been there probably 4 years, almost 3 years at the church he's at. But I don't see them on the same level. Yeah. I feel that developmental, it maybe he has it already even. It's just that he's not doesn't have the example to be able to show that he has the experience. Yeah. I just had a bit different feeling about him than.
And we got to remember, he's really functioning now as an apprentice out at
Lafayette.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's, so I'll give you Debbie's feedback. Debbie's feedback said, he's no Jeff Kreider.
Well, so was that a compliment?
And she says, and I understand he's young and all that, but her concern was just experience. You know, didn't come across with it.
Yeah, I thought. Well, I mean, 30 seems young, but our Lord was 30 when He started, so He's 31, so He's older than our Lord.
Yeah.
And the other is. Canoeing the Mountains, a great sermon, and we can't do what we've done before. And so sometimes a new guy might help us canoe the mountains better. Or if you bring in somebody that's established, I kept thinking back to that series, and it's like, well, maybe there's, yeah, he's inexperienced, but maybe that plays into what maybe we're trying to do here as well. And again, I see that the fundamentals, just talking with the guy, just a real solid man, and I think he's genuine. It really seems genuine, and with his wife as well. And so, Michelle and I both thought positively of him.
I don't think it really matters how all of us score him, that it's going to be, we've got to keep in mind that there's an additional score in the wife column on him that's probably not.
Yeah.
Because she really comes across as somebody that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'd be an asset to her.
She's her own person, but she's also right there linked to him.
Yeah.
So I knew they're very much.
Yeah.
And Beata brought up a good point, too, on Saturday night. She asked after they were gone. He said, did you guys talk to him about why Jeremiah left? That we have this, the demographics of our congregation, and we have this void, and, so that at least that they would know. And I said, in all of our, in our Zooms, we talked to a lot. I can't think specifically on him, but I'm sure we did at some point.
I did, and then I even said, we don't have that here, but you've already got that established with just the fellowship of people that you can have, so you can have the best of both worlds there. And
but Kyle, that was a good point, that we ought to make sure that they do understand.
Yeah.
That we do have some challenges when it comes to the demographics.
Yeah.
Brad, what are your thoughts?
I think same thing that everybody else did, was, the fact that they're about to have a child. I love that, because you learn more from that than anything else.
It's going to be a year of learning whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
And, God has a way of, using the family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so here you got a young person who seems very intelligent, but he also said he was disappointed in the elders where he was before because they wouldn't give him time or understanding. And he really is searching for that. And I thought, well, somebody who's willing to be molded and shaped and, work with us, I think would be fantastic.
He asked me point blank when we were together if I would be around to, and I didn't know which way he was headed with that question.
Are you going to be around?
What answer do you want? I have no idea. No, I'm kidding. But do you want me to be around or not? I was trying to explore that with him, and he said, "No, I really would value that." Mm-hmm. And he said, "I particularly see with Jeremy's leaving and with Jeremiah's leaving, and knowing the change here." As he put it, the institutional knowledge is going out the door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, for you to be able to offer that to me would be a key piece. I thought that was a really bright
He brought something like that up there. Something similar.
Yeah, it's good. And I talked with him. I said, my experience with the elders when I was a youth minister, it kind of said it was ministry heaven. I said, we talked again about that. I said, I know it's kind of strange. We lost Jeremiah. We lost McKaylee. We lost Jeremy. He said, no, he said, you guys have a reputation. The talk on the street is that the elders at McKnight really take care of their ministers. So that was good to hear. Yeah. Yeah.
You weren't finished, Brad.
Sorry.
Oh, I was also thinking about what our consultant said, when you find somebody good, you better do something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, he still wants to finish out his educational side, which gives us a time frame, and I think we should throw in, I still want to know more about him too as a person, but at the same token, I'm like, he asked a question in our group about, what would we feel would be a, an objective that you would like to see. And I said, if you're here a year from now, I think, change might happen. But I was very pleased to see what we heard. I thought, they could be a couple, I think, that could draw young couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we sorely need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the very distinct impression too on Saturday night that they're looking for some place to plant themselves and grow. Yeah. You know, they're not looking for some place to
next thing,
to help them develop to the next level and move on. I think, you know, through
the fact that they're here now, it's, I think it is a plus.
Yeah. They bought a house here, you know.
And they love St. Louis.
Yeah,
and they're from Texas.
Yeah.
And their parents are wanting to move here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really something.
Yeah, there was something else he said about the church that he was at. So Winter, that so they had grown up at
huge churches.
Like two different huge churches. They then went to a huge church together, and then they ministered at 100 or they went and found another congregation of 100, and that's where they were at.
Yeah.
So they weren't trying to find a big church. They were trying to find a little one that they can know people. Mm-hmm. And so that was something interesting that we've always had that fear, I think, about Texas people, that they're wanting something big. So Jeremiah, you can see, and it wasn't that he really wanted something big. He was looking for something that was more his age.
Bigger community.
But that community is required to have something big there. Mm-hmm. And so people from Texas usually expect to have the same church that they were growing up in, and they're not. So that's something special about them, and that, like, they've loved St. Louis since they've been here. So. Yeah.
So they showed up a little early for lunch, so I made him go play baseball. So we were playing catch, because you're a real person if you're playing catch. And so, you know, we're just throwing the ball and talking, and, you know, his wife's out there and, you know, talking about having kids. And so, you know, tell me about SLU and, you know, throwing the ball. And he goes, it's a great experience, but, you know, some of these guys are just too heady. You know, I'm in it for the ministry, you know, and it's great that they're teaching us all this. And this is exactly what I wanted to hear, you know, just throwing it back and forth. And I said, yeah, I know a lot of good people that have gone into religious schools and come out smart people that aren't very faithful. And he goes, and you know, that there's those people exist, you know, and so I was very happy to hear that, because that's kind of my worry is, you know, you go into some of those institutions and you just leave me with my books and I'm happy. Just don't get people in front of me. And he was, you know, the exact opposite of that. And again, you know, just, you know, throwing a baseball, he's just a real guy, you know, just talking to me. So I believed him. And so I just got all the right answers from him.
Can he hit a curveball?
I know. We were just pitching catch. So he's got a pretty good arm, though.
How's your arm today?
And it's not bad. I still got a pretty good arm, but I wasn't throwing any breaking stuff. Yeah. So.
Well, I thought the weekend went well, and I was trying to pay attention to them on Sunday morning and at the lunch, and it seemed to me that they got a positive impression of our body, because part of this weekend is for them to get to know us better. And I didn't pick up on anything that was, you know, red flags for them, and that's good. And we'll have to keep making sure they get all the exposure they want, so they're comfortable with who we are.
You know, we were in class, but I didn't see, like, during the break or after worship in the lobby. Was there a lot of interaction? And
it seemed like they had regular folks, you know, regularly coming up to them. It was a constant line, but, you know, Linda and Judy, you know, chatting with them. And
you did mention that
Brian Hill.
Brian Hill, got a couple questions on LGBTQ and his stance on that. And, I mean, your first day to church.
Let's get something straight out.
We started with the microphone, so they had a long time.
But his ability to dodge that one, it's like, man, hire him.
You know? Okay, good.
It's like, man, if you can run that gauntlet.
First conversation.
He was, he did mention, I think, it was at the church before we left for lunch when I was chatting with them. He said, you know, really my main concern is this timing, because we've got, or maybe it was after lunch.
Yeah, but, it was after lunch.
You know, we've got the baby coming and I'm working on this thing and I've got to talk to my counselors. And so I told him, yeah, you'll have to let us know what you need, what's going to work for you. But I didn't think any of those elements would be deal breakers. But, you know, we need to know what you need in terms of, instead of him asking us, you know, when do I have to start? And he decides if it works. It's like, well, I like whatever. And I didn't throw any dates out there, but I did couch it that way. And because I feel like if he's the right guy, there might be something. Let's just say it's January 1 that he starts. There might be something really healthy with us filling in this gap without Jeff's routine. Yeah. And then he comes along, and he's a step up from what we do for three or 4 months. Yeah.
They'll really be looking forward to it.
We're really going really well. Just like, you don't need to come. You can come to church here. But we have a really good thing going.
It fits pretty well with a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
First of all, with Carson Reed saying needing a liminal
space. The liminal space.
Yeah. And then with your wisdom of having us preach for a while.
Yeah.
Just that we have some of that.
Yep.
And let him know, man, we want him in whatever works for
long. Ethan, in his cover letter, said that, hey, he's open to filling in, I don't know, like one Sunday a month, which I think would be great. He said, he'd welcome that, and I think that would be awesome, just kind of easing him in here and getting him time with the congregation and with Jeff.
So overall, I just didn't have any red flags I picked up on. It seemed like a good
weekend. I don't know how, if you got to this on the Saturday night or Sunday conversations, but he said that Sarah said the one concern she had, in addition to the fact they're having a baby, was the fact that it really is going to take him close to a year to get this thing finished. And he didn't want to put 5 years into it, get totally involved, engaged here in such a way that he wasn't able to go back and finish his dissertation.
Yeah.
So if we had the fall, he believes, and that was their conversation that they had about this, and Sarah said, if this position would start in January and you could work the fall, I mean, they've already kind of had that, had that sort of internal thing. So something like that feels like that
might could really work. Might be what he asked for. Yeah.
You know, guys, that even that scenario is better than we ever thought it was going to be.
Amen.
Heading into this, we were worried about a year from now, still not having something. Yeah.
And again, we haven't decided on him yet. I realize that, but. Wow, I'm just.
Is there any constituency? I mean, like I was thinking about the African American community. You know, he's kind of the library rat, a little bit of that. White
he's
guy.
He's whiter than I am.
Yeah, white guy.
It's harder to get.
And again, Steve, maybe you're the only one here, and I've been putting an unfair burden on you. But to kind of speak for, because I would say, to be honest, and this is I've said this out loud to others, in a postmodern world where middle and upper middle class people have pretty much left the faith. There is one thing that a lot of the African American community it decided to not go there. In other words, they just have a better sense of cultural community and can find their place in church, I believe, much better than white people can in general. And so I think if you think about that from a church growth standpoint, and again, we could probably add in Hispanic. Mm-hmm. There are probably other ethnic groups as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Asian.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's so true. I mean, within the campus ministry, I know, it's the Asian community. So all I'm trying to say there is that where does he fit in with all of that, and how much do you weigh that, and is that a consideration, and how do we make sure that we're thinking about it from the standpoint of not just who we are, but who the church can become?
Well, I think Gwen had an observation along those lines, and it had more to do with not who we can become, but who we are today.
Okay.
And her observation from a reading specialist is that she said there are some people here in terms of their reading comprehension, their understanding of language, it might be challenged a little bit with, where he's coming from. But I thought he was fairly plain, I thought it was fairly plain. I didn't really have that concern, but that was one of her concerns. But in terms of being relatable, I think it's how he see us in terms of our priorities, what we think are priorities in terms of And if our priorities is continue to be a church that want to encourage and be attractive to a very diverse audience, I would
expect he could step into that.
That's what I think the expectation would be. Yeah. That's my expectation.
Okay.
Hope for him,
okay.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, yeah, and maybe we get some others to weigh in on that. You know, Ethel or.
Yeah.
Patrina, or you know, others to you know, Fred.
Yeah.
As we go forward with this, who could help us assess that a bit as well? I don't know if we're ready, but I did make two phone calls today regarding Patrick. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the are you is this your
that's the next thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well,
so
I guess before that, again, I think everything's positive. To me, the worst case scenario. Is, hey, Ethan, we like you. January, we're going to get you a start date. And then, December 15th, he says, listen, this isn't going to work for me. So anyway, that's my worst case. And I don't see that happening, but we would have to have a conversation with him to say,
this better not happen.
We're giving you some consideration here. That would be worst case scenario. And he doesn't seem to be a flight risk. But it's just something we have to talk about.
Baby.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the thing that I have to say.
So Brent, that could not be worse. That might be worst case scenario, but in some ways it might not be a worst case scenario.
It's not that bad.
From this standpoint is that if he's here worshiping with us and he realized that, hey, you know what? I don't think this can work for me because of, you know, what's going on here. And I would much rather him take that position on December 15th.
Yeah, amen.
So I think that's why it's so important that we have him here mm-hmm. for those couple of months so he can really begin to feel like, is this really a good fit
for
him?
Amen. Runway.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. And then, you know, if he needs out at the end of the runway, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. And it's rare to be able to have a minister come in and his main role is to observe.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't
that's
be
a good point.
Mm-hmm. You know, just being able mm-hmm. to observe can yeah. really give you a lot of wisdom in, as yeah. you move forward.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, put a pause on that right now. Let's think about where we stand with the other three that we've talked to.
Let me just I called Michael and Josh. I've called Josh and told him, you know, we loved you. But we didn't think it was a good fit for the role that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And he was very good. He's like, oh, I really appreciate you letting me know this. And he was very good. I was just so impressed with his response. And he said, well, I'm coming up to St. Louis this weekend. I talked to him last week. He applied for a role that we felt like would be a good role for him at the Rooftop Church.
Oh.
So he did that this weekend. Yeah, it really is.
Wow.
Kind of an outreach kind
yeah,
of role.
Yeah, yeah. And there was one of the pastors there I met wasn't real happy there. And so I'm assuming he probably resigned and he took that. They're looking for somebody for that one. And I talked to Michael Santiago and I said, okay, we're not saying no to you, but we're very concerned you coming in to this role. We're a complicated church, and without the experience that we might not be setting you up for a good experience. Mm-hmm. I said, but we're not saying no right now. Mm-hmm. And I said, we don't want to bring you up if we're not pretty confident that you would be the guy, because you coming up, doesn't work for you, then it may sabotage your job there. And he appreciated that too. So I said, okay, we're not saying no, but I'll keep you informed for things.
Okay.
So those two are done.
Okay.
And look very well. I think got a really good spirit about them with that. So that's those two. So then now Patrick.
Okay.
I was going to contact Willingham, which is one of the references for Patrick. Also was going to contact Randy Harris, which is for Ethan. But I didn't get to do them today. Taxes controlled me today.
Yeah, today is
right. Yeah. And you said you talked to two people.
I talked to two people in depth. Again, one of them is first-hand awareness of some of these things at the Manchester Church, and the other one is one of my best friends, whose wife's sister is the wife of an elder there.
Okay.
So he knew a lot about all of the books. Mm-hmm. I was like, Kent's in Memphis, but the relationship, the connection there to Jennifer, to his Jennifer's sister is the wife of one of the elders, and her dad started that congregation many years ago. So Kent, my buddy, had a long-term relationship with Manchester and Gene as his father-in-law and mentor. Mm-hmm. And so, so I feel like I've got a lot of data.
Okay.
And I'll start with the information that came first from Gary Burke. And Gary was an elder at the Connecticut Valley Church where we were. Wonderful, wonderful guy. Did his own campus ministry work, got his PhD in patristics, worked up in the Northeast for years and years and years, and just a gentle spirit, and is only sees the best in people. Okay, let me say it that way. He just always sees the best in people. And then, again, not an elder at the Manchester Church, but knew all of the details about this. So after Connecticut Valley stopped meeting, he went over to the Manchester Church. And he said, Patrick is in a very textual way, an extremely, but very biblical and very practical and very textual teacher and very effective teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He said that was, there's no doubt about that. And he was a hard worker and he tried new things. And he stepped out. He stepped out of the kind of the normal way of doing things. And he was obviously very involved with the Tidal River camp. Extremely available to the church. Good, available for counseling. Did many one-on-one Bible studies. So he said there's just a lot of strengths and assets that he had. He then brought up and started kind of in on some of the things that Patrick disclosed in our interview related to two women where the relationships were inappropriate. And Gary said, I don't know what the facts of that, but there was enough buzz about these things within the congregation and unsettledness by the shepherds. And he said, I love those guys and they're great guys and they're great elders. And they've been burned in the past. So they are gonna be more sensitive to some of these things. They've had two different ministers that have had, one of the elders' daughters ran away with a member of the church, and it was just a terrible situation. Another, they've had two situations back to back where they were stung by this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically some kind of sexual misappropriation and inappropriate behavior. And so I think they're just really sensitive that would be Gary's take.
Mm.
He didn't really want to say whether Patrick was inappropriate about it, other than, in fact, he couldn't necessarily verify that, but he just said that the perception was, the optics of it were not good. And then he went back on to say that he did some amazing stuff in terms of church growth during COVID, and came up with starting to do videos that were posted online. He told us a little bit about that, and did those twice a week, and those just really took off and were very popular, and advertised his upcoming series, and was very creative about how he went about that. You know, like he was going to talk about Jesus in the storm, and he's standing out in the rain, and you know, just stuff where he went out of his way to make this work. And he said it; those have just been great. So, outstanding teacher, good preacher. His work in Zimbabwe, taking teams over there, was all good. He said there's no doubt his mood is down right now, and it has been just crushed through this process. I ask him how, in terms of this perception, did it fit in with his own marriage? Because I noticed after thinking about it later that he never said a single thing about his wife in any of this, yeah, in any of the two sessions. And Gary said, she's a very passive person. And then he said, she's a very passive person. And he said, I have no idea, really, on what the status of their marriage. So for being as close to him as he is, he also, there was just this whole missing piece from Gary's perception of this, I felt, where he couldn't, in fact, answer that.
Just one thing I'll throw in here real quick. So I spent a lot of time on Facebook trying to find her.
Yeah.
I could not. Yeah. So I found one picture from like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it was so that exact passive thing, this thing that's sort of a hidden person almost, is very much the way it looks on the internet from her.
And she may have said, I don't want you to put me on Facebook.
Because I can find the kids usually.
Yeah.
So, but I can't find her even with the kids. So like, it's rare.
So he felt, thank you for that. And again, I think Gary was his recommendation. I said, Gary, if you're in our seat, would you make a recommendation? He said, yeah, I wouldn't say no without a further exploration, because I think he's strong enough teacher and a preacher and knows the work of ministry and wants to be back here, and that I wouldn't, I would explore it further. Okay. Then I talked to Kent, my buddy, and he said, pass. He said there's just all kinds of stuff behind the scenes, and he then said his relationship with his wife is horrible, is the word he used, and he said, I can give you the names of the people, I can give you the wives' names, I can give you the other elders' names, and both of them could. Gary, they can give us a half a dozen others if we want to pursue it. I did not want to pursue it after talking to Kent, to be honest, and I hate to say that, but...
I want to say...
What's that?
Just hearing this, it's like, can we go on to something
else? Well, I know you said that, but I also know that there were others, because we came into the meeting tonight, my understanding, Brad, that we were going to have him come in as the second guy. I don't recommend that, but I wanted to have that conversation in a fair-handed way. If we have to do a little bit more homework to determine that, because Gary's saying yes. Not that we should have him in, but that we should explore it a little bit further.
We shouldn't say no
without...
That's funny, because I thought after talking to Gary, I thought you would say, I think we need to bring him in.
To at least explore it with a couple of the other guys. But anyway, Kent said, first of all, the elders did not want to fire him. They wanted to manage him up, not manage him out. But he's not very coachable.
Was it manageable? Yeah.
That he is just so strong-minded about the way he sees things that I think they got to a point where they didn't feel like they had any options. And he went through, and Gary did this as well with, you know, one guy that's just came on about 3 years ago, and he was the last one to come around on this, that we got to let him go. But he is a brigadier general. In the Air Force, I think it is, anyway, up there. And so he's in Connecticut, and then he's in, some high-powered guys who, he said, extremely objective, has dealt with this kinds of things and realized there was nowhere for the church to go but to let him go. In other words, they would not have let him go had they seen that there were other options.
Because the Air Force doesn't force people out. That's not their first track. Yeah.
For him, but then even the preaching situation, they can't get a preacher in Storrs, Connecticut. They can't, nobody wants to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so they can't find anybody.
Yeah.
And so you don't really kick a guy to the curb unless you don't feel like you have any other options. And that's essentially, and so there's probably more data. And kind of to Brad's point, I could get down into the dirty on some of it, but text messaging between him and some of the women and stuff like this that was available to some but probably wasn't privy to everybody. And so you know, my head's spinning at that point. I'm like, okay, this is too complicated, that, which is what I felt after the last Zoom call.
Okay. I appreciate the contacts that you have.
Yeah,
that's very insightful from folks a little closer to.
And we have the names like this Sue Scanlon, the lady Kent said, she's a fabulous lady and is level as even keeled. She's a lawyer. She's an HR person. She was the one to was tasked with helping him. Mm-hmm. And he said she's just not one to do anything but to try to help make things better and just has that capability and that personality. And he didn't speak well of that, you remember, in the interviews. So that was like,
Well, I hate to say it, but like even if he had not done anything inappropriate, like it was just drama that had come up because of the church's history, him having a wife who it's apparent to people around him that they're on shaky ground and seems to hide from the public eye, that's a big strike against. Just the same way Sarah's a big point for Ethan. That's a big strike against.
That would be a negative.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The point about maybe him not being coachable, that stands out more to me than some of the other things that, you know, give benefit of the doubt or whatever. Because we need somebody who's pliable. He's willing to try new things.
Right.
There's
right.
some of the feedback, but then coachable. You know, some places need somebody who will take the reins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're trying to be, you know, we rode this horse hard.
Yeah.
And we're trying to not repeat
yeah. He died off the desert.
That's exactly. And so, you know, I just, so.
I have to admit that I did in the couple of Zooms get a hint of that. It just always seemed, and I'm sure it wasn't 100% the case, but it's always seemed that it was somebody else's misunderstanding, fault, or whatever, that they just didn't understand. And that would go along with the comment about coachable, that if you really feel like there's nothing you can learn. That's sad.
Yeah, I hate to be that definitive like Brad said. I mean, it's suggesting in one way, but I think it's risky business.
Yeah.
And as Kent said, two maybe additional points. One is that he said, I think he'll start off really well and then it'll catch up. Mm-hmm. Then we'll, you know, it's a kind of guy that has enough polish to come in, but then it will begin to take some of these elements that Kent related it to all the way back to his childhood, that he really has never, you know, probably needs to be in therapy or getting some kind of help along the way. And whether we want to be the place to in the forum for all that, that sounded not ideal to me. The last thing I'll say, and I'd forgotten about this, but I think it's probably highly relevant, is he said that in Kent's estimation, based upon talking to Jennifer and her sister and all that, that first 3 or 4 months, he was just very divisive after he was let go in terms of trying to win other people to his point of view. And again, I suppose if you feel like you were railroaded or you were, it wasn't a fair assessment of who you were.
It's not professional.
He's still there.
Yeah.
He's still there in that church. Now he's trying to win others to that point of view. And that, I didn't know what to do with that one. That's a pretty loaded word, divisive.
So let me see if I can summarize quickly where we're at. We got one guy we really like. We've got two others. Well, no, we have two guys we really like. One we feel like we might be a good fit here. Another guy that maybe too much for him to come here. Another guy that would not be a good fit here. And then Patrick, good guy, a lot of ministry skills, but probably not a place to be able to be here.
Baggage.
So what's our next step?
I'd make a motion that we approach Ethan to work out a solution that works for them and us.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't disagree with that. In fact, that's why I would like to end that play, but the process, what if we brought him back again for the second interview, and then again getting the process of the congregation having some getting to know him before a decision's made.
Like the ministry leaders, I think that would be.
Yeah, ministry leaders is good.
I think getting the ministry leaders involved, like, you know, Barb and Collins and Dale Simpson, get those guys connected, because he'll be working with them quite a bit, you know, in this role. So I think giving them an opportunity to be a part of the process mm-hmm. might be healthy for us as a church and also for them, you know, and for Ethan.
Yeah.
So.
And I was thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking, okay, what do we do? And I would think, you know, bring him back. And then, like you did about a quarter ago, just have ministry leaders come to the elder meeting mm-hmm. and not have Ethan here and just say, okay, let's talk about it. Because I don't want, you know, if Ethan's there, it's awkward. And let's say, hey, we like this guy. We're praying about this and with the ministry leaders specifically. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, not all, everybody in the congregation, but with the ministry leaders and just talk about it like we did on the with the elders meeting.
That would give us some more time to keep praying as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give the congregation another look. And, yeah, hey, we want your feedback, everybody in the congregation, but, you know, we're going to have the ministry leaders come to this special meeting and we're going to talk about it. That's what I was thinking would be best.
But not have Ethan at the ministry leaders.
Right. Yeah.
Which so is different, I think, from what you were saying.
Right? Yeah, I was thinking giving them some FaceTime private time. it doesn't have to be, I mean, it can just be a mixer kind of where we have like a coffee and dessert where you just get the normal
level. The ministry leaders would be a part of the weekend.
Yeah.
Be part of the discovery as well as the feedback.
I agree. I think that would be, that's what I would
I think recommend. That does make, I think that's more fair-handed.
I just don't know how you play it out, though. I was just trying to think how you make it
like
work in my head.
Like a mixer here, like even in this room, mm-hmm. just have like desserts, almost like what we did at Don's house, have desserts, and then just make it where...
Yeah, but when? How does this work?
Just like Saturday night or Friday night or something like that. Just Friday evening, and then it would be like we did with the youth ministry. It would be more of an intense weekend. It would not be just the two small little events and that, but it would have this mixer with all the ministry leaders. You would have probably a time with all of us together questioning him, maybe even. So maybe getting to some of those bigger questions like Brian was asking, because we've never asked those kind of questions.
Well,
we've asked big questions, but we've not...
We've never asked those questions to us.
Right. No, so, and again, I don't have this clear in my head. And what I hear, I don't understand how it's going to work. And so I don't think we need to have a time for another question and answer sessions. I think, you know, you need time for let people mix it up. But, you know, I don't think he's going to sit in front of in a chair and have people fire questions. I don't know that that's what we want. And I just think it's time to mix it up. But, you know, let me know what you're thinking.
Yeah, my thought would be is he would have a little time to just talk about himself, almost to give the answers to the questions that he thinks they're going to get asked. Mm-hmm. And then they would have a lot of mingle time and try to make it where we talk to the leaders and that they know that you need to mingle with them. This is your chance.
Yeah.
It's not going to, there's going to be one little session to a point, like 15 minutes, where him and Sarah can talk about themselves, where they've been, what they do, what they have a vision for. Mm-hmm. And we could even set that up. We could even give them, hey, this is the questions or the script you should go by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then let them do the mingling the rest of the time.
Yeah, I think if it's led like Steve and Steve, you know, hey, there's 15 minutes and you guys just kind of give them real light background kind of stuff would work, and then the rest mingling, and then a separate time with the ministry leaders to ask them their feedback I think would be good.
So are you seeing, I like that, and I think that could be structured. I could see that. It's a dessert, it's has a little bit of structure of the stuff he's already thought about, so he's not caught off guard, but it allows them to hear him from a different angle. Then we get the feedback the following Monday, let's say, Brad. In addition to that, is there another time for more similar to what we've done in past interview weekends, where there's a Saturday morning, or do you think that's already been covered in what in the time you guys had?
One thing that we won't have as much of is, okay, what would you do with this situation, or what is your, you know, the things that we usually do with people that have some experience.
And in one way, it's almost a moot point.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
okay. What about doing all the things we talked about with the mingle and him giving, being able to tell who he is and what, where they've come from and all that stuff? Is the next time having him come back and teach a class?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was one.
And maybe giving one of our word classes. And say.
Yeah, we can.
Shoot, it's too bad it couldn't have been yesterday.
I like that.
Is he available and next week?
Preach
next
also?
Sunday is real
grand. No, I wouldn't say preach again, but this would just be a chance to, to hear him teach.
I would say another preaching wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't know if loading up on that would be, you know, for him. I guess he's got enough time to prepare.
Yeah, but I think
he's going to have to get used to it.
It's like when we had the youth ministers come in the second time, they had to teach the teens, their parents, and the elders. That was a big deal. This could put them in the fire there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. So more of a putting him in the fire kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have to be so – I mean, we've already had lots of experience with him, so it's a little bit different. But I think that that's something that
– Well, we have, but I
don't know. Yeah, we have to remember, we have the church has the
right. And that's
– You're going to reach more people if he does another sermon.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking is how can we – pass the red face test that, we've given everybody a chance. And so ministry leaders, I think, okay, they've earned one-on-one time with this guy. And you know, you meet him, and then you meet with us. And then the rest of the congregation, I think we say, hey, you know, he's coming back to preach, and we want your feedback. You know, give us emails, talk to us. You talk to him. So that way, you know, hey, listen, we've tried to get everybody's feedback. We passed the red face test, but I don't think we have to – You know, I think they need time with the ministry leaders, and I think that's important. Yeah. And I think that we've done that. I think we've covered all the bases.
I think the other thing we can do, I like the ministry leaders, and like a Friday or Saturday, whatever you're suggesting there, and teaching a Bible class sounds really good. But I think after the end of the day, after the Bible class, if we did something in the gym, you know, for the congregations to come and meet them a little bit informally, you know.
A bigger event, like the little one for the ministry.
Yeah, then the congregation can come in and just meet. There's nothing formal, just, you know, you don't have to, you know, just kind of mingle and get to know them a little bit, kind of impersonal. And whoever wants to be a part of that can be a part of that. It's open to whoever wants to be there.
Maybe Sunday potluck.
Yeah, I would prefer a potluck than do a mingle, because I...
Because, I mean, that's the same thing. We just have it as a mingle, potluck, and then that way it's... Right after church, and then that way they don't have to come back Sunday night or whatever.
Right,
maybe, it'd be direct right after
the church, right after Bible study. Yes, and that you know, if he started Bible study, he's had a chance to interact with people a little bit, so they'll feel more comfortable, even approaching them, getting to know them a little bit. So, I think right to teach Bible study, we just go into do the potluck, whatever we're going to do, and that way the congregation can have a chance to.
Based on timing. That was what I was looking at for both for the Bible class as well as for our church. The really first opportunity is June the 6th or 2nd or whatever day it was. June the 2nd.
That's the first time. That's the really the start of the
because
next
we have the we have really five would work. So May 5th, but that's the camp. Our church camp. Next week is Mother's Day.
Yeah.
The next one is graduation Sunday. And then 5/26 or 6/2.
5/26 is
Memorial Day weekend.
So that's where 6/2 is really the first one. Okay. Unless we wanted to do 4/28, which is like 2 weeks away. So that's really too soon.
And the whole time frame that he's talking about and we feel like would work with us, that works.
That works, doesn't it?
Correct.
It's pretty good.
It's before the baby.
My concern is we're all talking about what we need for the church here, and I'd still like to hear from them what is it that they need, because we got a picture of a little bit of that, but, you know, I'd like to get more information from regarding
break out on a survey
before we start figuring out what's great for the church.
Say a little bit more about what you're thinking, Brad. For instance,
they need additional time to finish his
thesis.
If I were applying for a job, I'd want to know, you know, what's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we could be spending a lot of time, energy, and effort.
That's true, you know, Brad.
We're not, you know, yeah. I think having a draft of a, you know, engagement letter of some sort that, you know, puts things in writing and says, here's what we're thinking about. This is not a contract yet, but.
So my thought is, next steps would be the vision elders talk with Ethan and say, hey, we like what we see, and we want to pursue this. Now, we're not ready to make an offer. We still need to get some more face time with the congregation, but, you know, talk about what you think. So I say, we like you, you know, you know, what is it that you need? What is it that we need to provide you? And then I think the first day he comes back here to preach, we need to be ready with the admin elders to say, here's what we think an offer would be. Now, we don't talk about this with the admin elders right now, but I think right after we get done with the ministry leaders, we would have something ready.
We'd be prepared.
We'd be prepared with the admin elders to say, here's what it is, and so we know if it's going to work or not.
I don't know if you did decide, but what about if he came to our first May meeting, elders meeting, to do what Brad's talking about, to say, and tell him ahead of time, come with what. That's the picture of what.
That's a good option.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted the ministry leaders to be here that night to tell us what they thought. Because, you know, like, so 6-2 or like that weekend is when he's there. So the ministry leaders meet, like, we were talking about this little shindig. And then after, they would come and tell us their thoughts.
That's on 6-3.
On 6-3.
Yeah, yeah.
And then.
But Don's suggesting in the May meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were meeting with him.
Yeah.
Not our meeting, but we were meeting with him during that meeting.
Yeah. Just to have him in to help clarify the role, more or less.
And see if we can't come to an agreement on really what he needs. I mean, if he needs something that we really can't agree on, I don't foresee that happening. Right. But it's nice to have an understanding of what this needs.
Like on a meeting with him on Saturday or something.
So I'm trying to figure out if that meeting precedes the second visit or comes after.
I think it comes before.
I think so.
I think it comes before. Because if it comes after the second visit, then we can't come to an agreement. Then what's the point of the second visit?
Right.
So knowing that we can come to an agreement, I think we'll kind of precipitate. Let's do have a second visit.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it sends a message to him, too, positive message that, number one,
we're accommodating.
In a couple of weeks, we want to meet with you to, okay, let's talk about the logistics of this thing, how this summer, fall, winter plays out, when you'd like to think about starting. Does that work? You know, can we make that work? And then come to an agreement that says, you know, that could work. Mm-hmm. You're going to come back on June the whatever, and preach and teach a class and have an opportunity to meet with some of our ministry leaders, and that'll be a really good time for you to get more information and a broader span of our congregation, get more known to you. And
That's good.
And then that would put us in a position pretty early then after that to make the offer, you know.
So we, vision elders, meet with him pretty quick and say we'd like to meet with him in May, see what his needs are, looking at logistics.
Do ask him his impression of the congregation, if you would, during that, get the feedback from him on what the weekend was like for them.
All right.
And that it was good for us, but, you know, let's... Because we want to be able to address anything that they saw as a red flag. Is that real or not?
Okay.
Yeah. So another weekend with us will help that. Yeah. I was on the fence about whether is it better for them to just to attend on Sunday morning and teach a class, but then what's that experience like? Or is it better for him to, hey, he ought to preach and teach the class that weekend. That's an interview. And so... just again wanting them to be as informed as we can make them so that they're not on the fence about things. Asking
them. We care enough that this is important for him to understand what it is that his objectives and goals are, and so we can address that.
Yeah, I think that's important that he hears that from us.
Sitting in front of a whole bunch of people. I'm just sitting here thinking, if I were going to pick somebody, I'd pick somebody like Dave. Susan, he's really good at helping express themselves.
He's great.
But, you know, I'm just saying, you don't need a whole committee to, you know, gang up on him. Just, you know, maybe it's one or two. And I'm not asking for the job, believe me.
Which environment are you talking about? This next meeting, talking about?
The next communication with him, I think, should be, you know, we're seriously interested in doing something, and we'd like to talk with you more. And what are your needs? And, you know, we're trying to get information to put together a proposal.
So would that be in lieu of him coming into at an elders meeting, to visit our elders meeting in May?
Or that's in lieu of the vision elders meeting with him?
Because we weren't saying everybody. We were simply saying Steve and myself.
Yeah.
Meet with him. I don't know what. Seems manageable.
And I think they've been the face of this so far that's probably what he would expect. But but I agree, we need to make it as comfortable for him as possible with the next steps. But I think they would do well.
So there's a vision elder meeting, then a visit with the elders meeting, and then...
No, I think
okay.
I said the elders meeting, but somewhere along the line, I think that switched to just the vision elders, and I'm okay with that. I mean,
well
no, there was the vision elders are going to talk with him. Then they will invite him to the May elder meeting.
Oh, okay.
Right, so that was my understanding. Is that still what you guys?
That's
were
what
thinking?
I thought.
That's what I thought. Is you guys were going to talk to him? Hey, this thing's got legs, and you know,
maybe both aren't needed.
Yeah, but I don't think they both would be needed. I think one or the other. Mm-hmm. Maybe the May meeting, we can figure all those things out too that we want to do as a vision elder. So
if you guys are going to talk to him, I would offer him, if he wants to attend that, but if you think you could cover it, that's okay. But I would offer that he's welcome to attend that meeting.
Okay. Whatever he's comfortable doing.
We'll
okay.
So you guys would meet with him prior to May the whatever?
Sixth?
Yeah.
And then offer after that meeting, if he wants to come to the May 6th elders meeting for any reason, he could do that. But then we would arrange for the June visit for the weekend. The back 2 weeks.
Now we threw around a mingle with like the ministry leaders. Where does that fit into this?
That would be
the June 2nd.
That would be part of this.
June, okay. Let's say Saturday night, so June 1st.
Okay, so that would be that would
or
be before
the 31st, Friday, May 31st. Yeah.
Okay.
Just depending on how the other meetings and stuff like that.
We kind of jumped in there a lot, Brad. Did you have something else in mind that we missed?
No. I mean, I'm just relying on when I changed law firms. I mean, you meet, you know, usually with, you know, somebody that has the authority to do things. You ask your questions and get your answers, and then usually you come up with a contract or a proposal. Yep. And I think it's just, before we jump into saying how we fix all this with the church, you know, we better find out first what, you know, they're thinking.
Yeah.
And before we spend our wheels here.
Well, and I think there's two different parts. So we need to understand what they're thinking, but we cannot go to them with a proposal before we talk to the congregation, because then it won't pass the red face test. It's like, well, we just hired him, and this is just window dressing. Mm-hmm. And
I'm not signing a contract.
Right. I don't want. I think it's fine to talk with them, but I don't think there's any negotiation until, you know.
And I think what we said before was in that May meeting with vision elders, whatever. You're just talking about a structure,
right?
You know? I mean,
that's fine. Yeah.
There's no employment agreement or anything that we're talking about there, and that somebody said earlier, and they said it, I don't remember the words, but that a further interview we think is important, interview weekend,
right?
And for you to teach and preach, and we'll set up time and then after that, I think we could say we'd be in a position then to
and I am fully on board with that. I just thought Brad was saying somebody with agency needs to be talking with him at that first one, and I don't think we're ready for that yet. So
when the vision elders meet with them, we're not mentioning the June meetup necessarily, because we want to visit the elders meeting so he can express his requirements and we can make sure that we're aligned with those before we go ahead with a June meeting, or
I think we we say, here's what we're thinking, because he and his wife have a schedule too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To see if they would be available that first weekend of June.
So we would be suggesting the a Saturday night meeting with ministry leaders and a Sunday where he's doing everything.
Yeah.
Be a pretty full weekend, so see if that works for them.
Yeah. And she'll be very pregnant at that point.
Oh, oh boy. Yeah.
And so then having a Saturday night and a Sunday.
When is she
squeezing
due?
It in?
July
18th.
July 18th. Okay.
So she'll still be fine.
Yeah, she's still mobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Us guys.
Well, bed rest comes in those last 2 weeks a lot. So.
Yeah.
And I guess I would throw in there then, if we want to have something that, if it's not a contract, but it's something that precedes the contract in terms of a expectations kind of
memorandum
document
of understanding.
Then somebody, memorandum
very
of understanding.
Nice.
Thank you. Somebody needs to draft that. And I don't think that'll be an easy task.
Right. Yeah. And I do think.
Because I think there's a fluidity about this that almost has to be there. There may be some basic things that we could say, but I think it'll actually be a little bit tricky. So, anyway.
And that's an important document. I think so.
I mean, I don't want us to trap ourselves with it.
No.
I guess is what I'm saying. Because I think even in the conversation I had with him at breakfast, I was very guarded about what I said and what I didn't say, because you could lose yourself in trying to meet with ministry leaders, and that becomes your...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean in a way that really needs to be done. And you can lose yourself in terms of just following up with people that are at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And your whole entire job can be preaching, teaching, and hospital. Okay? And then maybe an occasional funeral that is a whole different animal and topic. You know what I'm saying? So what is it within the job description that we want him to focus on, or is that for him to figure out and in time? I just think it's a tricky question.
And how much of that is going to have to wait till he's finished his doctorate and doesn't have a newborn in his house?
Well, that's true too. But and then how much of it are we okay with either not, you know, figuring out some other way to have it done, or just structure things differently? Mm. And I don't know the answer to these questions, to be honest. I'm raising them as important in this discussion, but not really clear. Is the management of the staff a part of that? I just read an article today about by Tom Rainier that was talking about a minister. You cannot be a minister today without being an administrator. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it. Okay, and I was like, okay, you could have a really good. So it's not going to be like his teaching, you know, a professor role. It's going to have that, but it's also going to involve all these other tactical things. But
so
you don't want to scare.
The Holy Spirit provides administration as one of the gifts.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's why the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Holy Spirit. That's right. But so I'm just saying that has to. How do we work through that? I'm just asking a question.
I think that document. To me, the most important thing to me is that it is an engagement ring.
Yeah.
Because we're serious, and you need to be serious about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of this stuff we put on there is going to be in flux, but,
you know,
is don't be flighty about it. We're not being loosey-goosey, and in November, you know, changing
maybe
minds.
Maybe something like, you know, these things are included in our ultimate goal for role of this position, and then be able to identify the four or five that we feel like you're going to hit
most
ground running.
Yeah.
And then these others are going to develop into, and Jeff's going to help with some mentoring and training along the way, and so
due diligence. Do we have any other candidates? Like, I know we had a list of eight and there's four that we hadn't zoomed at all. Are any of them still prospectives? And where do we want to move on that while we're being very serious with Ethan?
That is a good question. Mostly because I've had a lot of people say, you know, are we going to see anybody else? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he summarized it very well, Autry. You know, we've looked at a lot of people. You know, we've met with a lot of people. We've spent a lot of time interviewing people. But this is the guy we say bubbled up. Now, I think we've got a list of like nine people. We talked with four of them. And I think the Vision Elders kind of did the first scan of it. And they, you know, shifted through and said, these are the four we think are worth looking at.
Oh, okay.
And so
we'd kind of eliminated the others. I see.
And we could ask Steve directly, but I can't think of anybody else, Ross, that we...
That's still dangling.
That's still dangling. We had the guy in Oklahoma, but that didn't turn into anything. We had a possibility of Barb Eichle's nephew, but that didn't turn into anything. I don't think there's any...
No, there's... Any okay. Yeah, so then one of my questions is, okay, what if he says no? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Start over.
So we're telling Patrick no. That's what it sounds like.
It does sound like that.
If
we had no other candidates, taking him on would be like accepting drama in our church.
Yeah.
It'd be like a last ditch, you know, like, oh man, we can't find anybody, so we're gonna have to put up with this.
Let's do a mini series. And,
who's gonna make that call?
One of us.
I did like the positive things that Gary shared with you because we saw some positive stuff for him, and I hope there's a way to convey that when you say, look, this isn't going to work.
He might need some interim work before he's a minister again, where he's able to be stable. And
it might be just fair enough to say, hey, we have enough other stronger candidates.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to condemn him or give him, this was wrong. But just say, hey, we have stronger candidates, so we're at a stage we can let you know that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more verbiage. Mm-hmm. But it's positive for him.
So it sounds like two things. We're going to pursue Ethan. And it sounds like we feel like God's leading us that way. That's cool. How God has answered a lot of prayers.
Yeah.
I mean, this was not as complicated.
This was the thing that we're saying would never happen.
Yeah,
come this quickly or easily.
If we find a good guy, we're supposed to move.
Number seven,
the same exact thing's going to happen tonight. The same thing.
So let's pause for a minute. And let's just thank God for getting us to this point. God, we as a year ago when we started looking at doing this, the word that comes to my mind is a lot of fretting. Mm. And Father, and we gave this to you, and we said we were going to let you lead us on this, and we thank you for doing that, and we feel like this is you're leading us to Ethan, and we just pray that you will continue to show us this. I pray that you will just really open Ethan and Sarah's hearts to really wanting to be here also, and Father, we just thank you for turning our fretting to joyfulness.
Amen.
And we just thank you. And it's your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So a couple thoughts on Ethan. And again, I like this guy. Due diligence. Somebody needs to ask him about his depression. And I don't think that's going to be an issue, but we need to ask him about that. And the other is, I think, I don't know, we've had conversations with Carson Reed. I think it'd be good to call him and say, hey, here's what we're thinking. And maybe we need to do that after we talk to Ethan and say, are you interested? And then, hey, Carson, here's what we're thinking. You know, we're pretty happy about this. You know, let us know what you're thinking about it. I just think that would be good as well.
Mm-hmm. And the references, I think we should still follow up on.
Yeah, and Carson is one of the references, I think. Right. He and Randy Harris.
So you guys have... typed out with all the, what do you call it?
ENITs or whatever.
Enneagrams.
Enneagram. Has he shared any of that stuff with us?
No, we didn't. I didn't ask him.
I'm happy we didn't.
I hate that nonsense. I don't put much truck in it.
Myers-Briggs, he's probably has some of those testing. And his wife got a master's in counseling. Yeah.
I sense that he's an introvert. But
He's told us he is.
Yeah. He's a very capable introvert, though.
Yeah.
As far as social skills.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very impressed with his people skills. So just initially seeing that. So
a week from tonight is the finance committee meeting. And so we can put together a recommended salary. Our benefits package is what it is. And then I'm not sure... We've got to figure out when it's time to include that in the communication with him and make sure it's within a range that, he would feel his work. So but I guess that group will come together with a recommended salary,
okay,
and then make sure we're comfortable with that. It's kind of a two-stage thing. I brought a little salary info with me if you want to have that conversation now, mm-hmm, or we can talk at the finance committee and bring something.
It's later. Almost eight.
Pardon me?
I just want to point out it's almost eight. Sorry.
I'd say we talk to him first and let's see if he's interested. And,
yeah, you know. I'd say while we're doing that, you guys kind of give us,
yeah,
have your meeting and come up with what you think.
Tighten it up a little.
Make a recommendation.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So as far as scheduling, you guys are going to talk to him.
So we're going to try to meet with him.
Get some
he
dates.
Lives close to our regular meeting place.
And get some dates. That,
yeah.
If
yeah.
these okay. June dates work and yeah. all that. And start getting that. Okay, good. Faith in Action, just real quick. So far on the website, Alan, Suzanne Kelbley, Jonathan, the Worthies, Alec Hill, Dave and Amy Weiler, Isabella Hennigan, and myself, and then two.
The Mintons.
The Mintons.
And the Weilers were the ones that were down on there.
You signed up both
May. Good
job.
May.
I didn't realize.
I'm on the website. I'm on there.
Okay.
Be on there.
I talked to Steve Borth. It sounded like he was going to be there to help me.
Good.
Okay. We're going to send out a separate email on Thursday.
All right.
To get people to sign up last opportunity kind of thing. And then, so we'll know for food for Sunday. But.
So we who's in charge of the food?
Me.
You are? Okay, great. Thanks.
Well, yeah.
So we do have several projects that we could farm out for some of our members. You know, like Marion's got a couple projects that we can either do those on this Sunday or we can defer them and do them just with yeah. Faith in Action. Kay has got a couple of things that we could do at her house. Peggy's got some things at her house. So I don't want to detract from how much we've got here based on the number of people we've got. You know, and make sure we can get as much work done here as we can. And so you give me an idea of how many people you think boots on the ground here we'd need. I can make a better decision about some of these other things, which again, we can defer hours, you know.
Right.
Any
probably
and all.
Four or five in the kitchen, what do you think? Probably more than that, and you're stepping on each other. And then yeah. I'll probably need four people outside, and then, you know, there's always lots of cleaning to do in the auditorium. And so
four in auditorium maybe.
Yeah. I want to vacuum the pews and oil down the wood and get some cobwebs taken care of and stuff like that.
Don, how many people do you have now? Like around 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
So probably 20 or a little more than 20, 25 mm-hmm. or so you'll have yeah. total. Because I know one family that still hasn't signed up. So, I don't know how many of us are going to be there,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I assume at least one or two of us will be.
I mean, there's plenty to keep a dozen busy, and I think that would be good. And it's always good to have, you know, half of this is to get work done at somebody's house, and half of it is just to work together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you need... Yeah. You know, so it's always good to have a good group of people working together instead of onesie twosies. And mm-hmm.
Good point. That was yeah, very good. The last time we did,
yeah,
that, it was just, I think people had a really.
And thinking day. Of like the Mintons, boy, putting them with somebody that they can develop some relationships
sure.
would be really
like
important.
That. And I kind of yeah, you're right on. It'd be great even to be at Kay's or Peggy's or something.
Yeah.
To have them see that.
Yeah. yeah.
Is there a cost related to those off-site projects?
I don't think so. I think Marion certainly takes care of hers. And
yeah.
Kay's, it's mulch and maybe staining her deck. You know, she's got a small square deck in the back. Okay. I'm going to try to get it power washed this week, and then we'll just okay. be able to stain it on the side.
Awesome.
We have a widow's fund that would apply to all three of those projects if you wanted them to.
Yeah.
And so if you run into something,
yeah, I get a sense that there's a need there. Maybe Peggy's, you know, we'll okay. see. I'm yeah. not really sure all what okay. she's got. Okay, that's all I had on that. And then children's minister search update, anything there, guys?
Couple things real quick. So I don't know if you guys had a chance to really look at the survey that was put together. There was some good information that we gleaned from the survey. One couple of messages there was, one is people are, they said this in several different ways, is that they want somebody long-term. Can be married, can have connections to St. Louis. And I think that gives us an opportunity, right, to maybe correct a disconnect, because chances are, based on some of the research we looked at, you know, 3 to 4 years is going to be the max. You're going to have a children's minister. So that survey information help us to maybe communicate and reset expectations with some of the parents, right? So we'll be able to do that. And then the other thing, you know, that's the whole cumulative effect of hearing that what they were saying just made this thing even more weightier, right? It was already kind of a weighty project, but it amplified a little bit, you know, just hearing what the parents were saying. And so,
give an example, Steve, of what,
you know, I don't really have a real example right now, but I was looking at some of the things on the, but it's just, as you was reading through the 12 or 15 surveys, you just start feeling this more weight.
The expectations, you mean, that people have are kind of high?
It was kind of the diversity of the expectation.
It was some diversity of the expectation, but I don't want to say it was high, but it was realistic. But it just put things into more focus, I guess, yeah. I should say, you know. And so sometimes things can get out of focus. So it was just brought into more focus, and you just focus seriousness of what we're doing a little bit more.
Okay.
And so the other, I think there's another thing that we're doing that could be helpful down the road is that, so we reached out to several people, and Lane was one of the persons that we reached out to.
Who?
Langham.
Oh.
Langham, in terms of just networking. And he gave us a guy's name, Lucas Collins, and Lucas is a theology student at Harding, so he's really not ready to take on the job, but just one of the guys that we want to put in the pipeline. You know, if we need to reach back out to somebody in a couple of years, just get to know a few guys. And so we're running that track as well, you know, trying to.
Jeff's got the job for a couple of years.
Yeah. So Jeff, he's going to be a great candidate. Jeff.
I think 50% were less than a year. So that's what I'm trying for.
And this is getting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
But Ethan, I wonder if he has any networking that he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right now it wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah, right,
but.
Right. At some point. Mm-hmm. At some point, it might be appropriate. So so we're still doing the network today. There's a meeting going on right now with the committee.
It's done by now.
Or maybe done by now, it's true, is that they had Jennifer on there from Cyber Institute to, you know, share some information, some trends and things that might be helpful. And so she was on there just to help, you know. We haven't really, you know, suggested that we bring on as a consultant, but she takes care of the children's ministry with the Cyber Institute. So, but I think I wanted to share this piece with you guys. We did have a misstep. And so you guys just need to know this. And so it was unintentional. And what happened is Jeremiah got the survey results.
When I sent them to y'all, he was on the email chain.
I'm trying to keep you under the cover.
I don't know. Listen, I'm blunt and direct with everyone else. Me too. Yeah.
So, I think it's good to know that it didn't come from Nathan. You know, so that's good to know that. And when it happened, it was unintentional. And so Jeremiah, he read into some of this.
There weren't criticisms of him either.
No, they were not. They were not. But he took it that way, and he did reach out to Susan Blaine and talked to her about it, and she actually said, "Hey Jeremiah, I think you're misinterpreting this a little bit," and you know, Satan can use that kind of stuff, right? He can, you know, he knows you're moving into something else, and that you might have additional responsibilities and influences, and so he's going to put these seeds in your head. So we did reach out to him and try to help him out a little bit, kind of walk through some of that. And so I think he's in a better, much better place now. But
did he agree that he? I mean, did what? Did that? Did you guys? Were you able to validate?
I think we did. I think he felt like he overreacted, as you know, on some stuff, you know, in terms of what he was reading, and that he you know, may have read some stuff into it that wasn't there, and so I think he's okay. I think he's okay, but as once
we
you
never
guys,
had complaints about him while he was here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he didn't get any criticism right. while he was here. So maybe he's,
that's not. Yeah, yeah. I don't
and
think
I,
that's
I
how.
I read so the questions. I didn't feel that they were leading that Jeremiah had issues. Mm-hmm. So and the way I understood all, I mean, my history with surveys and stuff like that. I mean, the responses were very both sided, like what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The saying that, and so I'm like reading one, and then I read the whatever the next one was. This was the exact opposite of that one. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so don't throw those out the window.
Yeah.
So it's just like when you're
personalized. Well, yeah, personalized. I would definitely, there was a comment where someone said, look for someone who has children. A
couple of people
and
said that.
And that's, I mean.
And then the one I read after that was a single person that, just like Jeremiah. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so these are the, you can't, they're not really valid responses.
So,
because there's only like one or two that were like that, so they were, and so it was like take two responses from a whole survey and say.
And I really feel like the general thing is we want to find somebody who finds a home here and wants to stay here.
Yeah.
I think them having a family is part of that. It was what binds people to the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, about him.
And historically, there have been children's ministers that have families. So there's only been one. Maybe only one that's not had besides him.
What do you mean, here?
Like here at McKnight.
Yeah.
Heather gone.
Well,
she had a family. And you had Jeremy, you had Martha, you had Gwen for a while, but your kids are all older, so I mean, but that's a bit different. But then the Martins are here.
Right,
Nicole's.
But as far as candidates, like if we're picking candidates, a candidate family is going to appeal to us. But we'd have to have a list of candidates to pick from before that would matter.
And then you have to have a lot of money to be able to handle paying for a family, too. Mm-hmm. And if it's a male.
Yeah.
Because that was another thing. It was a male with a family.
Yeah.
And it's like, then you're...
We're not budgeted for that.
Yeah. Like the one with the breadwinner that's working here. You know, so if you got a family, if the breadwinner's job, call him or her someplace else.
It's either a part-time thing or it's a...
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Just one more quick thing. Steve, you want to talk just about your parking?
Yeah. I went out to help my mother-in-law get in the car right when everything was done, and we've got a full parking lot again. So it's good. Parking will be a problem.
That's a good problem.
Also, that's right, yeah.
And to go along with that, and this isn't scientific, but I had to find an address, so I'm looking like, this was probably about a year after we merged, something like that. Yeah. I counted the family units. We had 200 family units. Mm-hmm. Then I went back and X'd those that are no longer here, and there were 96 that are no longer here. Mm-hmm. And then I got from Elizabeth the most recent directory, and I went through there to see people that would be added in addition to what we have here, and there were 46 extra families. Okay. So I was very pleased with that. That was really good.
Now we have less parking spaces because we don't have the other road.
Yeah, right.
And so that's that extra spaces that we now have filled up the parking
good
lot.
Good problems to have.
So just, and again, that this wasn't scientific at all, but just it gives you some
point of reference.
Some point of reference in going through COVID and everything. And people seem to have the sense that we're a growing church.
Well, Collins, marketing.
Just keep that going.
When I took marketing, they said nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. That's so.
in my work is it's hard to get people to give to a sinking ship.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think
that's exciting.
Well, on the greeter front, if we do end up using that front lot more, we need to unlock that door. We position a person there, but like you can't see people coming until they're right up the door, and it's so awkward when someone can't get in the door.
So just a refresher
with that, I'll put that back to Brett, but I do think that.
Yeah, I can put a camera there, and we can.
Let's put the camera there.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I think we could start monitoring that, and then we could always lock it if somebody would do that at 9:45.
Yeah,
and that's what we had done before. We had it open during greeting time. And then we locked it before service, as service was starting.
I think that would make more sense. And I just didn't want to do
just
that.
Just as a refresher, back before COVID, Earnhardt worked on the parking lot situation quite a bit, hired a design company, and we got drawings and everything. And then he passed, and then
I picked that up and met with the design company, and we finished those drawings, and then I asked them to give me a bid to do what was going to be done, or to give me an idea of what the bid would be like, and then COVID hit. But that bid was like for $125,000 for just, and we didn't really add
like 20 spots or something.
Not even 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was some redirection and all that and a few extra spots.
Right.
So we just need to maybe start seriously thinking about if parking becomes an issue, our options. And, you know, we're pretty limited, you know, and we've got the two houses, we've got options there, we've got, but, you
two
know,
services
two services for a while, you know, we could do a lot of different things. But
what I think also is there's probably a lot of families, so there are some Sundays when I'll drive, Michelle will drive, and David will drive. So, you know, I'm here for early for elders meeting, Michelle for greeting, and then David comes later. Just say, hey, listen, if you can put that into one car.
How was the attendance yesterday? Pretty decent?
Oh, that's great. It seemed really full.
Well, I was... Ethan speaking.
Remember what Dev said?
Bruce doesn't come on Sunday mornings usually. So
he watched the video of it when he came up and he's like, oh, Nathan, I'm eating.
I thought the worst line was by Fautry, my good friend, but it was, oh, what does it matter?
What's in a name?
What's in a name?
And remember Debbie Fitzgerald's comment, right?
That's right. Yeah.
No Jeff Crutcher.
By the rustling of papers, I think everybody's ready to go. So it's in. Close with a prayer. And Dave, you're in May, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So May 6th.
And June.
Oh, okay. Right here.
Okay.
So
how are you doing? Your health, your heart,
oh,
everything?
Very good. My cardiac rehab, I've got 5 more sessions.
Good.
And I've started running.
Wow. Controlled on a treadmill.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. So running means 4 miles an hour.
People watching you.
7 minutes, 2 minutes walking.
That's good. That's great.
That's very,
awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
But hey, that's progress.